done. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Yes. Well, it's good to be with you. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And tonight I'm going to call this message, Rejoice in the Blessings of God. Rejoice in the blessings of God. Amen. How many of you know that the blessing of God, it matters? Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know what? All of a sudden, I'm feeling the wind of the Spirit moving my way, but I think it's a fan over here. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we appreciate that, guys. We'll turn that off so we can hear a little better. But the blessing of God, it matters in our lives. Amen. How many of you believe you're blessed in the Lord? You believe in the blessing of God? The blessing of God matters because we can never lose sight of our standing with Him. And our standing with God is that we are blessed by Him. And now when we hear the word blessing, sometimes we just think it's something, well, it's something that happens to us that's nice and it's good. And that's included, don't get me wrong. But tonight we're going to take a little bit deeper look in what it means to be blessed by God. Because the good news about God's definition of being blessed, you don't have to have a good feeling to be blessed. You know, you don't have to wait for something good to happen to you before you're blessed. Amen. Blessing is not something we're waiting for. Blessed is who we are, what we are in God. Amen. But if we lose sight of God's blessing, all of a sudden we're going to start losing sight of our victory in Christ. Don't ever lose a note of victory with the Lord. Amen. He has given us that victory through His blood. He has washed us. He has cleansed us. If we start to lose sight of the blessing of God, then we're going to lose sight of all that He's done for us. You know, we're going to lose our confidence in Him. And I'll tell you what, you know, we're living in the days when Christians are being tempted more than ever to be cynical, to be critical, to be fault-finding, to be complainers. All that stuff is just the surest indication that we're not fellowshipping with God. I'll tell you what, when we fellowship with God, I just mean Christians in general. If we're not careful, all of a sudden we start, you know, complaining. All of a sudden we lose our note of victory. And I'll tell you what, if we're fellowshipping with God, when we get into His presence, we're going to come out of that place, you know, with a note of victory. You know, God's not, you know, depressed. God's not scared. God's not worried. Are you here tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. But when we fellowship with Him, we're going to stop seeing the worst things in this life and we're going to start seeing the better things. And what I mean by that, it's so easy to look at the world right now and feel like there's so much bad, you know, going on. I'll tell you what, God is still sitting on the throne. Jesus is still seated at the right hand of the Father. We have every reason to be encouraged. You know, if we stop, you know, looking at who God is and our standing in Him, we'll start to find faults in others. We'll start to complain about other people. Folks, we cannot ever get to a point in this life where we think that, you know, someone else is hindering our life. There's nobody that's hindering your life, right? Amen. God is the one that has our destiny for us. Nobody's going to stop the destiny that God has for you. Amen. Have you found over there in Genesis chapter 12? Have you gone right over there to verse 1? We're going to look at a man by the name of Abraham. And at this point, his name was Abram, but it's the same person. And of course, later on, his name gets changed when God gives him this promise and so on. But for the sake of just continuity and understanding, I'm just going to refer to him as Abraham, all right? And so even when I read these verses, I will still refer to him as Abraham. But how many of you know Genesis chapter 12 is the beginning of God's plan to put it into motion to bless all the peoples of this earth? Amen. That it was the beginning where God put this great plan in motion. And He approached this faithful man, Abraham, and he had a plan and a promise. And we're going to take a look at what he said to Abraham. We're going to look at the first three verses. This is the first time that God approaches this man. And these are the things that He tells us. And now these things apply to each and every one of us right here tonight. This is about 4,000 years ago, and it still applies to you and I right here tonight. Amen. And now let's go ahead. I'll read the first three verses, and then we'll just go back and we will teach on it. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation." Everyone say, great nation. He says, "And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. And in you shall all families," everyone say all families, "of the earth be" what? "Blessed." Through Abraham, God was going to put a plan in motion to make sure every family, every person, you know, the peoples of the nations would be blessed. All right. But we need to know and understand what that word blessed is. Go back up there to verse 1, and we're just going to start looking at this. And I think it's very interesting in the first verse. We got to remember, Abraham at this point, when God first speaks to him, Abraham is 75 years old, or near 75 years old. All right, he had spent a lot of time in that country. He was surrounded by extended family. He had a wife, but obviously you remember that he had no children here. That's going to be a promise that is given to Abraham. But he was very familiar there. Abraham had a lot of possessions. He was, you know, pretty successful, you know, financially and all that. He had a lot of reason to stay right where he was. He was comfortable where he was. He was successful, and he was surrounded by his father's family, you know, no doubt, you know, siblings, cousins, relatives, all the stuff that was going on. How many of you know that that's a difficult command? All of a sudden, God shows up after spending 75 years in that place, being successful. The Lord says, "Abraham, I've got a plan for you, and I need you to pick up and I need you to move away from everything that you've been familiar with." How many of you know that would be a very challenging thing? How many of you know we can stumble over the instructions of God to us personally, and we don't always obey very quickly, especially when it causes us to get out of our comfort zone? How many of you know that would be a lot of temptation for Abraham's brain to say, "I'm not leaving here. This is all I've known. This is my best, you know, place in life." But go down real quickly. We didn't read it, but go down to verse 4. Can you just drop down to verse 4? Look what it says down here. It says, "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him." I mean, I think it's very interesting that the one thing that God found in this man, or we could say it this way, the reason why the Lord approached Abraham in order to bring forth the plan of salvation to this earth is because Abraham was a person who was very quick to obey. If we want God to use us, we've got to be what? Quick to obey. No matter how much it inconveniences us, no matter how much it makes us uncomfortable, no matter, you know, what it might separate us from, no matter how much it is. Now, of course, that's a big task. And I'm not saying that God's going to tell all of us the same thing. But I think it's very important to note that Abraham was a man that from the moment God first told him something, he said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it." He was very quick to obey. If God is going to change this earth, if the Lord's going to move mightily in our community, if he's going to move mightily in our nation, he's got to find people that are very quick to obey the Lord. Folks, remember, the Bible says that we are Abraham's seed, or the children of Abraham. Remember what Jesus told the Pharisees when the Pharisees, they said, "Hey, we're Abraham's seed." He said, "If you're Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did." Remember when he said that? Folks, I'm here to tell you, the Bible says that we are Abraham's seed if we are Christ. And we're going to take a look at that here in a little bit. But if we're Abraham's seed, then we should be like Abraham. We should be very quick to obey. We shouldn't, you know, allow any inconvenience to stop us. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're here on a Saturday night, right? But how many of you know God will give us instructions out of the Word and into our heart personally that are very inconvenient for our lives? See, the reason why we are not seeing, you know, in some places, you know, the move of God that is described in the Bible is because our modern day believers aren't as willing to be inconvenienced as some of the people that God used mightily in the Bible. I just thought it was very interesting to start, you know, right here in verse 1 with looking at, all of a sudden, this is the first recorded time. God shows up on the scene, speaks to Abraham. He says, I'm going to need you to move away from everything you know. I'm going to need you to go live in tents out in the wilderness because I've got a plan, and through you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Abraham says, okay, I'll go. You know, I mean, think about all the simple instructions that God gives us as Christians. He says, lift up your hands and give him praises. And we're like, nah, I don't want to do that. The Lord says, hey, I want you to be in church. You know, don't forsake the gathering of ourselves together. And sometimes, what do? You know, all of a sudden we just, you know, and of course, I'm preaching to the choir, but some believers go week after week after week after week, and they're never in church. You know, and I'm here to tell you, those simple instructions that God gives us, that's our opportunity to prove ourselves faithful. Amen? Are you here tonight? All right, well, verse 1 is just free, no charge. That's not really the message I'm trying to get to. Go to verse 2, and God says this to Abraham. He says, I will make of you a great nation. All right, well, that great nation just happens to be the nation of Israel. And, you know, here we are 4,000 years later, almost exactly. You know, scholars believe that Abraham lived somewhere between 2100 B.C. and 1900 B.C., so let's just take the average. Let's say 2,000 years before Christ. That's about 4,000 years exactly from where we stand right here today. And guess what? The beginning of Israel was right here in Genesis 12:2. Israel is still on this earth, supernaturally protected, supernaturally provided for. The Philistines, they tried to erase Israel off the earth. They're gone, all right? Antiochus, Epiphanes, you could go Alexander the Great, the Caesars of Rome, Hitler in the 20th century. Everyone has tried to remove this nation of Israel, the Israelites, off this earth. And guess what? You can't get rid of them. Amen. Because they're blessed by God. Praise the Lord. And so I love to just point that out, because the Lord is still fulfilling his promise to Israel. And the Bible says if he's going to be faithful to them, how much more will he be faithful to us that are washed in the blood of Jesus? Are you here tonight? He says, I will make of you a great nation. We could just check that off the list. Already done. That came to pass. And he says, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Wow, here we go. Israel is that great nation. Isn't it amazing that right here in this Bible, we have a direct line from Genesis chapter 12 all the way to right now in the days that we live in? Isn't that awesome? See, to us it was 4,000 years ago, but the Bible says a day unto the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So 4,000 years ago to God is no big deal at all. Amen. But notice what he says here. He says, and I will bless you. Praise the Lord. Now, are you ready for some definitions of what it means here to be blessed by God? See, when we say, oh, you know, so many times when we talk about blessing, you know, we talk about it in a real shallow way. We'll say, well, you know, I got blessed. Maybe some unexpected money came in, which that's always nice, right? Maybe you got a promotion at work. Maybe you got a newer car or something came along and it was a blessing to you, right? That's always good and fine and great. But that's not what this means here in this verse. When God told Abraham, he said, I will bless you. That word bless, it means to kneel down and to pay respect. Doesn't mean God was worshiping Abraham. It means that God reached down to Abraham and said, you are the one that I'm going to put my respect upon. Isn't that awesome? How awesome is that? It literally means to mark somebody for greatness. Yes, it's like this. God knelt down and took a hold of Abraham and said, I have chosen you on this earth. The word blessed here, it means to be chosen. It means to be marked by God. It means to have God's respect and to have God's favor, even when nobody on this earth is respecting you, or even if it looks like you have no favor on this earth. The Bible is saying you're marked by God. You have his chosen favor upon your life. Amen. That's what it means. He says, I'm going to bless you. The word bless, it means to set somebody apart. I would say this, maybe an illustration that would be familiar to us. Have you ever seen, you know, in the medieval times, remember when a king would knight, you know, when they would knight that guy, you know, the shining armor, you know, Sir Lancelot, you know, whatever his name was, Arthur and the Round Table, all that stuff. Remember, they would knight them. That means that they're chosen to represent the authority in that nation. God was saying to Abraham, I have chosen you. I've put my respect upon you. You will be the one that I will deal with. I've marked you for greatness. It's like a brand. Do you know what a brand is? You know when cattle farmers, they brand their cattle? What is that? They put a mark in them. In those poor critters, that's probably pretty painful, you know. They burn that brand into them. It's like that. God is saying to Abraham, I am marking you. I am choosing you. You are chosen as my very own. That's awesome. It's awesome. And so many times we think blessing is just a matter of what money we get or a better job or something like that. I'll tell you what, blessing is so much more than that. Amen. It means to mark someone with favor. It means this, as to tell them that you're the only one that he's going to deal with. That's what Abraham is being told. God's saying, I'm going to deal with you and nobody else, except you and obviously those in your family and those that come after you. It's awesome. Blessing is not something we're waiting for. At that moment, Abraham received the blessing of God, and it didn't show up in the form of money or a better job or something like that. He was being marked and chosen by God. All right, folks, remember this blessing of Abraham, because this is exactly what has been reserved for you and I in the New Testament. Are you here tonight? Praise the Lord. Look at verse 3. It says, God says to Abraham, he says, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. How many of you know that's still true in the days that we live in? All right, that is true for Israel. Do you know one of the main reasons why this nation has become so great is because this nation has blessed Israel and helped Israel come back as a nation back there in May of 1948. Do you know that the Jews were dispersed into the nations and did not come back as a nation until 1948? Are you aware of that? And this nation, along with some of our allies in Europe, played a major role in bringing Israel back to their land. Because we have blessed Israel, this nation has been very, very blessed. Even we have a lot of evils here, we've got a lot of issues, but God has still, he's raised up this nation, he's protected this nation because we have stood with Israel. And I tell you what, it's very important that the United States have leaders that stand with Israel. We haven't had much of that in the last few years, but there is somebody coming in who's going to be very, very friendly to Israel. Thank God for it. Praise the Lord. And I'm not here to get political, I'm just saying that that's true. You know, regardless of what you think about it, it's absolutely true. It means literally to bless you. It literally means to kneel down and to crown somebody. To crown somebody. Do you know that you've been crowned by God? Do you know that? Well, we're going to talk about that. You know, I'm going to just go off the beaten path here. Can you bring up Psalms 8:4, I believe? Yes, praise the Lord. I love this. What is man that God is mindful of him, and the son of man that God would visit him? Go to verse 5. It says, for you, God has made him, mankind, a little lower than the angels. Oh, but that's the King James Bible. There's a translation issue, because that word angels in the Hebrew is the word Elohim. It means God. Can you bring it up in the Amplified? I think the Amplified gets that right. You have made mankind a little lower than God or heavenly beings. and you have crowned him, humanity, mankind, crowned him with glory and honor. God's intention for humanity was to wear that crown of his blessing. All right, are you getting a hold of this? Praise the Lord. Go back to Genesis 12:3. He says, "And I will bless them that bless you, curse him that curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth receive this blessing." Genesis chapter 12 is when God started building a nation that would provide the heritage and the bloodline to bring Messiah into the earth. Jesus showed up as King of the Jews. King of the what? Blessed ones. You could say it this way. But something happened here. We know that Jesus came and he fulfilled his role. He was crucified on that cross. But something happened for all the nations of the earth when Jesus was crucified. It was giving us all an opportunity to walk in the same blessing as Abraham walked in. Amen. We're going to get a hold of this. I'm just going to start building very slowly. Glory to God. God wanted all the peoples of this earth to walk in that same blessing as opposed to walking under a curse. Folks, look what God was seeing. He was seeing a whole earth that was lost in sin, that was owned by the devil, that was, you know, disobedient to God, cursed to the hilt. And God said, I don't want the peoples of this earth to remain cursed. I don't want them to be hopeless. I don't want them to be lost. I don't want them to go to hell forever. So God looked and he says, I don't want these people of the earth to be cursed. I want them blessed. And so Abraham, I'm going to start with you and I'm going to put in motion a plan to bring the Son of God to this earth, to shed his blood on a cross in Jerusalem. I'm going to raise him from the dead 3 days later, and those that call upon Jesus Christ in faith will be my blessed ones. Let me show you this. Go to Galatians chapter 3. I've just been meditating on this stuff lately, and so I'm going to share it. I'm going to preach it. Hold your place there in Genesis 12. You never know. We may come right back. Go to Galatians chapter 3 and go to verse 8. Are you blessed here tonight?
Yes.
Ooh, praise the Lord. Don't let the rain drive your blessing away, right? It doesn't matter if it's raining outside. You're still blessed. Doesn't matter what the price of gasoline is. You're still blessed. Doesn't matter, you know, what happened at your job. You're still blessed. I'll tell you what, you know, you're not blessed just because you're having a good day. You're blessed because you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, say, well, Pastor, things have been tough. Well, guess what? You're still blessed. Because blessing isn't what you're experiencing. Blessing is what you are. God said, I'm going to make you a blessing. Praise the Lord. Your life is going to be blessed. You're going to help others come into this blessing. Well, praise the Lord. Look at Galatians 3:8. Look what the scripture says here. This is going to sound familiar to you. It says this. It says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Whoa, the heathen. Do we have any heathens here tonight? That's actually, you are if you are outside of the Jewish covenant. The word heathen doesn't mean someone who's necessarily living wrong. It's another word for Gentile. It's another word for Gentile. It means the non-Jewish races. Foreseeing God, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the non-Jewish races through faith, he preached before the gospel, before the New Testament, unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be what? Blessed. So notice the scripture tells us that what God shared with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 is called the gospel. Isn't that awesome? You didn't think that the gospel was being preached all the way back 4,000 years ago, but the Bible says that it was. Do you see the line that's being drawn? Folks, think about this. We were in Genesis chapter 12, and now we're directly connected to Galatians chapter 3 in the New Testament. Are you following me? Here, I'll make a little visual for you. I'll go take the Bible. Genesis 12 to Galatians chapter 3, how much, what percentage of my Bible is connected right there? Almost all of it. Almost all of it. The reason being because this is the great arcing story of how God started with Abraham, and you and I are the fulfillment of the promise that God made 4,000 years ago. We are the nations or the families of this earth that are blessed through this plan. Hallelujah. He says, remember? He says, we're in the New Testament now. We're all these years later, but the scripture told us that God was going to bless all the heathen, all the non-Jews. And all the way back there in Genesis chapter 12, he preached the gospel to Abraham saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So now we know that Genesis chapter 12 applies to you and me. Amen. Now, look at verse 9. Here we go. Hang with me here. So they which be of faith are what with faithful Abraham? Boy, you sound so blessed here tonight. Right? So then they which are of faith are what? Blessed with faithful Abraham. That's not what you're going to be. It's what you are right now. All right? God doesn't say you're blessed just because some extra money comes in or whatever. You're blessed by meaning of birthright. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became born into this blessing. You've been marked for greatness with God. You've been literally given God's respect. You've been marked with and branded with His favor. I'll tell you what, I don't ever grow tired of preaching this truth. I've preached Galatians chapter 3 over and over and over because I see Christians, it's so easy for us to forget who we are in Him. We are the fulfillment. God was looking 4,000 years into the future, and He saw me and you, and He wanted the blessing that was on Abraham to be on all of us. And we're going to get to what exactly that means. So the question is here, do we have anyone here tonight that's of faith? Do we have anyone that's of faith here tonight? Well, if you're of faith in Jesus Christ, your faith literally has moved you into the blessing of Abraham. I told you to hold your spot there in Genesis chapter 12, and you know what? My ribbon came out and I didn't hold my spot. Real quickly, shuffle back there. Go to Genesis chapter 15 real fast. Go to Genesis 15. Hold your place in Galatians. We're coming right back there. Go to Genesis 15. Well, praise the Lord. God's excited about us. We should be excited about Him. Amen. See, so many times the blessing of God is preached from a financial standpoint. Listen, finances are the lowest form of God's blessing. Yes, there are many promises of God providing and blessing us financially. Praise the Lord, glory to God. But I'm here to tell you about the blessing of God that does not depend on any money. It doesn't depend on any feeling. It doesn't depend on circumstances. You're blessed no matter what is going on around you. Well, praise the Lord. Because a lot of believers, they start getting down because things are getting tough in their life. Yeah. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you're blessed regardless of what's going on. Are you here tonight? Yeah. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's us. Look at Genesis chapter 15. Go over there to verse 5. And it says this, and God, now remember here in Genesis 15, God was going to speak to Abraham and show him how great his descendants were. Remember this? Yeah. And so the Lord brought him forth abroad. God is speaking to Abraham, and He says, look now toward heaven, Abraham, and tell the stars if you be able to number them or count them. And God said to Abraham, so shall your seed be. This is a 75-year-old man who had no children. And God said, look at the stars, see if you're able to count them. So shall be the seed of your descendants. All right, that's a great promise. Now, there was no natural reason for Abraham to believe that at all. He was 75, no kids, nothing in his being, you know, would tell him to believe that. But look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. It says this, "But Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness." God said, "This man simply believed me, and now I can use him to change the world." Folks, I'm here to tell you, God can move mightily in your life if you'll just believe him, if you'll just trust him. Listen, when God tells you to be in church, trust him. When God tells you to tithe, trust him. Amen. When God tells you to praise, just trust him. Amen. When God tells you to forgive somebody, just trust God. So you don't need to explain it all, right? Just trust him. You know, there's things that we won't be able to explain, but we just say, "Father, I'm just going to obey it and you're going to work it out." Obey God and watch him work it out in your life. Amen. Now go back over there to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9. See, the blessing of Abraham is that God said, "I will justify you simply because you choose to believe me." Just because you choose to believe. Abraham was justified before God because he believed, and now that blessing has been passed along to us here tonight. Boy, don't look so excited about it here tonight. Woe is me. Be careful. Don't take on the Eeyore personality. I know, that's an illustration from the past. Remember Eeyore, that donkey? I say this all the time. Sometimes Christians start looking like Eeyore. And when I was a kid, Eeyore was way more depressed than he is now. I guess they had to change him. You know who Eeyore is? That manic, depressive little donkey that hangs out with Winnie the Pooh. Remember him? You know, whoa, whatever. Nothing ever works. Nothing ever going to work out. I'm here to tell you, the blessing of God is on you. That is why you know whatever it is you're facing, it's going to work out. It is going to turn in your favor eventually. But the question is, are you going to believe him? Are you just going to trust him? Do you believe you're blessed? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're of faith now, drop down there to verse 13. We love verse 13. You're in Galatians chapter 3. Hallelujah. It says, "Christ has redeemed us from the what? The curse." See, remember how God looked upon the old earth? He says, look, the curse is upon everyone. The curse of sin, the curse of disobedience, the curse had covered the earth. So God approached Abraham to get this plan moving so he could bring Jesus into this world so he could lift the curse. So many Christians, when you ask them, why did Jesus show up on this earth? They'll say, well, Jesus died for my sins. That's a great answer. It's a great answer. But you know what? It's not a complete answer. Jesus Christ came to this earth to redeem you and I from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, a reference to the cross. All right? So when Jesus was on that cross, he was carrying the burden of the curse that belonged to all of us. He was becoming a curse on that tree so that we would never be cursed. You're blessed. We're blessed in our bodies. We're blessed in our minds. We're blessed in our spirit. We're blessed in our marriages. We're blessed in our jobs and our businesses. We're blessed with our children. Glory to God. Don't lose sight of who you are in the blessing of the Lord. Glory to God. Jesus became your curse. He became my curse on that tree or the cross. All right? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why? Notice verse 13 is not done. Notice that little colon down there. All right? Look at verse 14. Why did Jesus go to that cross? To lift the curse, that the blessing of Abraham would come on us, the Gentiles. There it is, right smack dab in the middle of your New Testament, a direct line from Genesis chapter 12 all the way to the days that you and I are living in, that whatever blessing God spoke upon Abraham that day is the same blessing that is on us. Hallelujah. You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? It means you're chosen. Yeah, it means you're marked for greatness. It means you are those of faith. It means that you've been branded with God. It means that you're the ones that know how to rejoice even when things look bad. It goes to show you that God wants to deal with you on this earth as opposed to dealing with everybody. You know what I mean? God has placed his respect upon you. He's placed his honor upon you. And that means that no matter what you're going through in this life, you're blessed. I'm here to tell you, the blessing on your life, I'll tell you, depression is no match for it. Are you here tonight? I'm taking away the treats. We're pulling those treats again. No food, no. Do you know what I'm saying? When you will get into the Word, when I will get into the Word and realize, wait a minute. Curse doesn't belong to me. Depression doesn't belong to me. Blessing belongs to me. Anytime I start to feel, you know, discouraged, anytime I start to feel like something's not going to work out or, you know, what's going on with the situation, I'm reminded Galatians chapter 3 is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible because it draws a direct connection. It's like Abraham is standing right next to me and he laid his hands on me and put that same blessing. Yeah, I mean, it's just imagine it being that close. Just like Abraham walked. What did it mean? That blessing on Abraham meant that he was not going to be taken off this earth until the plan of God was fulfilled. Hello. Israel rejected Christ and God is still protecting them. He is giving them, I mean, Russia. Every nuclear weapon on the face of this earth could be pointing at Israel right now, and it would not succeed because there's still even a remnant of this blessing on that nation. Do you understand? That's the blessing that is on you. Your enemies cannot prevail. We got to think this way. So I see a lot of believers these days moping around, you know? You know, walking so low, they better pick themselves up. They're starting to drag their knuckles on the ground, you know, looking so low, so beat and defeated. I'm telling you, you're blessed. You know, people say, well, no, it's just better to be. God has never been sad a minute in his life. So many Christians, man, there was something about that when the Spirit of God, you know, wanted me to say it that way. God does not look at anything and, you know, feel like there's no hope. Are you here?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you what, I'm getting some treats after service. Oh, praise God. Where are we here? Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham would come upon us. Now, drop down there. Go all the way down to verse 29. Go all the way down to verse 29. Blessed. What are you? Blessed. We're not depressed. We're blessed. We're not, you know, surrounded with doubt. We're supposed to be those that believe. I mean, Abraham had no child and looked up into the stars and said, all my kids are going to be that many. Think about that. He said, I have no natural reason to believe it. He said, I'm just going to believe God. I'm just going to believe the blessing's going to work. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:29, look at it. Praise the Lord. And if you be Christ's, here it is, that direct connection between Abraham and Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are what? Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I believe that promise is working for me. Do you believe that that promise is working for you? Do you believe the blessing of God is working for you? Do you believe it? Yeah. Is there ever a reason to be discouraged? Folks, we know things happen. Folks, we know that tough times come, you know. But I'm here to tell you, you're blessed. You're blessed. Praise the Lord. I'm blessed. If you be Christ and you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. That blessing is working. That promise is working. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let's get into this. Here's some more definitions for blessing. Are you ready? The blessing of God. You know, I was ministering, you know, along these lines, you know, this past Wednesday night in Jamestown. And I was just meditating on Wednesday afternoon, just sitting in these scriptures in Galatians chapter 3. And a word came up out of my spirit, to be honest. I've heard the word before. I have to admit, when I spoke the word out, I had to look it up to figure out what it meant. You know, because somewhere in my edumacation, I must have forgotten about it at some point. But all of a sudden, the word magnanimous came out, just jumped out of me. And I spoke this word. I was like, I haven't used that word. I don't know if I've ever even used it before in my life. And I'll be honest, I didn't even naturally know what it meant. Is there anybody here that will be honest before the Lord that you instantly know what that word magnanimous means? Anyone know what that means? All right, we got a couple of ladies over here. I believe you, you know. But the word magnanimous, I had to, of course, look it up. And it just jumped out of my spirit. I haven't naturally used that word in, I don't know as if I've ever used it. But it means this. It means ultimate generosity to those who are less powerful. Ultimate generosity to those who are less powerful. Isn't that exactly what God did for us? God gave us his ultimate generosity for those of us, humanity, that are less powerful than him. The blessing of God is the magnanimous, ever-present state of having God's approval. The ever-present state of having God's approval. What if we lived with a mindset of that? The word blessing means the recipients of his favor and eternal promise that he will not come short in caring for us. It is his eternal promise that he will not fall short taking care of us. Isn't that the heir according to the promise? Isn't that the promise that we inherited? Amen. Aren't you glad? So now I got to ask you, do you believe it?
Yes.
Yes. So then we got to ask ourselves, if we believe this, you know, we should have a note of victory about us. Folks, that doesn't mean, believe me, don't misunderstand me. I do not promote a cheesy, fake Christianity where people put on like false lingo and try to sound all churchy. I'm not that guy, all right? But I will say there should be something about a believer that the world looks at us and says, look at them. There's something about their countenance. There's something about, you know, the way they carry themselves that has joy, you know, that they seem confident. They're not going to allow discouragement to bury them. Are you here tonight?
Yes.
There should be something different about the believer that should be victorious. Can we just quote some scripture, right? 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, right? Who is an overcomer but he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Folks, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of temptation to feel, you know, down and defeated. You're going to have to rally and say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. I have the promise. I'm an heir according to the promise. I'm Abraham's seed. You know, when you look at Abraham's life and the scripture about Abraham, you could go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at what the scripture says about Abraham, and you can see all the things that he accomplished. Nothing stopped him because there was a blessing on him. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, if we'll just obey God like Abraham did, we will be unstoppable until we have finished our course on this earth. Wouldn't it be a lot better, you know, with all this stuff going on in the world, whether it's sickness, disease, depression, poverty, all that, when that stuff comes against you, wouldn't it just be better to be like Abraham and just say, I believe God?
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't it just be better to say, I'm blessed? I'm blessed. If money runs away from you, the blessing didn't. Right? You know, if you went through a trial, nothing can steal this blessing. A loss of a job, guess what? You're still blessed. You know? A pain tried to come against your body, guess what? You're still blessed. You know, an attack on your mind, guess what? You're blessed. And we got to be mindful of this. And I preach this several times every year to remind, believers of our standing in God. Blessed is our standing. Again, do you believe it? We should rejoice about it then. We should rejoice. The Bible says when we believe God, we rejoice. Can we bring up some scriptures? Are you ready to just show us a few things here? One of my favorite rejoicing scriptures is Psalms 5:11. Can you bring up Psalm 5:11? I love this. Oh, praise the Lord. But let all those that put their trust in God sit and act sad, be low down and depressed. But let all those that put their trust in God rejoice. Let them ever pout. Let them ever doubt. People that put their trust in the Lord rejoice. Let them shout for joy. Let them shout for joy. Christians should have a shout about them. Amen. No, I don't go to Walmart and shout. I don't. I'll be honest. Doesn't mean it probably. Maybe that's what Walmart needs. You know, maybe someone needs to do a little rejoicing over Walmart. It could use some help, right? Let them ever shout for joy because God defends them. People that believe that God is their defender, they rejoice and they shout for joy because they believe that God is always defending them. Let them also that love your name be what? Joyful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 12. I didn't read verse 12. Verse 12 is the verse that we want to get to. For you, Lord, will what? Bless the righteous. With favor, God will surround them with a shield. Favor. God wants to surround you with his favor like a shield. It protects you. It defends you. It provides for you. Because you're blessed. Blessed. Pastor, it's interesting. There was more rejoicing in here last week when we were talking about sowing discord among brethren. You know? By the way, did anyone do their homework in Numbers chapter 12? Anyone take a look at that? A few of you did. Homework this week, Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Go back. Learn it. It'll help you. Do you believe that you're blessed? Yes, we should be rejoicing then. We think that the worst thing that can happen to our faith is that we get challenged with a hardship. No, the worst thing that can happen to our faith is that we start believing that God is limited. When we start to think that God's limited, when we start to think that something's not going to turn, things are not going to change. I mean, Job, who didn't even have the scripture, he had sense. He said, can you bring up, where is that verse? Someone help me with that. I will wait until my change comes. Is that Job 14:14? Someone help me out with that. Try that one. It's probably not right. Yeah, it is right. If a man dies, shall he live again? Job is saying this from the ash pile. Remember? Yeah. He had no scripture. Job is the oldest written book in the Bible. Do you know that? See, it's Genesis covers a time before Job, but Job is the oldest written book in the Bible, meaning it was the first pen to paper, so to speak, of anything ever written in Scripture. Job had no Bible like we have. He had no blood of Jesus. He had no authority. He just did his best with what he had. And Job, who has lost his kids, his living, his livelihood, everything, he's lost his health. He's scraping the boils and sores off his body with glass. And Job says this in the worst moment of his life. If a man dies, he's talking about himself. Job here being a type and shadow of Christ. Of course, Job is talking about himself, but Jesus died and lived again, right? If a man dies, shall he live again? And Job says this. He says, all the days of my appointed time, I will wait until my change comes. Wow. That is an incredible statement from a man who did not have any scripture, did not have the name of Jesus, did not have the blood of Jesus, did not have a local church, did not have a pastor. And he said, I know my life is like, I feel dead right now. He said, and I will wait until I get through all of this. He says, my change is coming. My change is coming. If Job can believe that, you and I can believe that. We're blessed. Job didn't have the blessing that you and I have. Do you know that Job was not the seed of Abraham? And yet he still had this sense that because he was honest and sincere before God, he said, the time will come. My change will arrive. My change will arrive. How much more for those of us that are in the body of Christ? We think that the worst thing that could happen to our faith is that we'd be challenged. No, Job was being challenged, but his faith stayed the same. He still said, you know, he's still believing here. You can see it. He still believes that God is unlimited. God is unlimited. He said, my life is hell on earth, is what Job was saying. He said, but my change is coming. Oh, my goodness. We're the ones that have God living on the inside of us. How much more should we rejoice? Hallelujah. Well, I'll bring up another rejoicing scripture. Can you bring it? Where is that? I don't even have it in my notes, but I said it the other night, and I want to use that verse again. Try Proverbs 28:12. Proverbs 28:12. This is, here it is for us. Glory to God. We should rejoice in the blessing of God. Oh, who's going to rejoice in these last days? Say, well, Pastor, life sometimes just feels hard. I'm going to just tell you something right now, and this is going to make somebody mad at me. Folks, we don't have it nearly as hard as what a lot of generations of people before us had it. We really don't. It's true. I mean, no one is feeding our children to lions. No one is dipping Christians in tar and lighting them on fire. I mean, probably in some, you know, places in China or the Middle East or somewhere, something really radical like that might be happening here and there. I'm just saying, we, you know, compared to generations before us, we do not have it as bad as they did. We don't. We have our freedoms in this country. We have so much to be grateful for, right? When the righteous men do rejoice. Everyone say rejoice. There is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. It's obviously that first half of that verse is what we're focusing on here. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you want the glory of God to move in to your home, to your life, to your church? The glory of God. What is the glory of God attracted to? Rejoicing. 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 Let those that put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because God defends them. When righteous men rejoice, the glory of God moves in. What happens when the glory of God gets into your home, gets into your marriage, gets into your business, gets into your church, gets into your life? What does the glory of God do? It meets every need. The glory of God is what helps us. It is what feeds us. It is what heals us. Amen. Folks, how many of you know your flesh just doesn't want to do this? You know, our natural flesh does not want to do it. What if we just told our flesh, too bad? Too bad. I'm going to rejoice anyway because I'm blessed, not because I feel it, but because I believe it. Abraham didn't say, oh, I feel the children coming. I feel the family's going to go. We live in a very a fleshly, five senses kind of society. We want to feel everything. God didn't bless Abraham because he felt something. He blessed Abraham because he believed something. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you getting a hold of this here tonight? Amen. Oh, here we go. This is a verse I do have here in my notes. We got to bring this up. It's right there in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27, right next door. Proverbs 27:17. Do you know that our countenance, do you know what I mean by countenance? The countenance is the joy that you have on your face or not, right? And no, please don't think, that you've got to walk around with like some perma-grin or something like that. We're not being weird and flaky, all right? This scripture is something that's familiar to us. I've quoted this verse many times. And look at the first phrase here. We quote this part of it all the time. Iron sharpens iron. Do you know what this is talking about? It's talking about people in your life that sharpen you or you sharpen each other. meaning people that encourage you in the Lord, people that teach you things. You know, when you have someone in your life who's a good Christian and you're encouraging each other with scriptures, with testimonies, right? That's iron sharpening iron, right? There's many people in here. You sharpen each other. You sharpen people around you, right? Okay. Now it says, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. What does that mean? Rejoicing can be shared, meaning people will pick up on your countenance and it will want to bring them up. It'll want to bring them up. I'll tell you what, I don't want to have a countenance walking around in this life. This is Old Testament. It says that our countenance should sharpen people. Sharpen them. Because you're walking in that joy. You're walking in that great glory of God. Because we're reminded of the blessing of Abraham that belongs to us. Notice you can help bring somebody up. The countenance is that meaning you can change the look on their face. They can go from down, you know, they can go to doom and gloomy to full of joy. I'll tell you what, I really believe it. If one or two Christians would just start, you know, rejoicing in some of these places, other believers would follow suit. Amen. Folks, you know, we praise and worship first and foremost. We praise God for his worthiness, right? How many of you know, though, when you see someone else praising and glorifying God, that should get on you. Amen. Why don't we just start, being a fire starter, so to speak. Amen. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. But isn't the reciprocal of that verse also possible? Right? A person can dull the countenance of their friend. Ooh, boy. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what. Why don't we make sure that we're a church that when people walk in, they find a church that's rejoicing? They find a church. Folks, do you think every Saturday is... Can I just level with you? Do you think every Saturday is the best day of my life? Meaning, do you think that... Yeah, of course. Woohoo! Yes. No, I'm just saying, like, realistically, though, do you think, can we be real? Yes. You know, you're so many faithful people. Have you ever felt like not being here? Hello? Anyone normal? Come on, right? You know, there's times, with preaching and things like that, and for whatever reason, sometimes night services are just different than morning services. It's, you know, both good and bad. And, you know, sometimes, you know, there's just a Saturday or whatever where, you know, I've really got to, you know, just get ready, you know, make sure that my countenance isn't down or something like that. It's so easy, you know. Sometimes things happen or I become aware of something or whatever it is, and it's so easy, you know, to walk into a service. You know, you could just be like, you know. But this verse is the reason why I don't. I've got this belief, and I think it is supported overwhelmingly, you know, in the scripture. No, it's not that I would deny. If I was going through a tough time on a Saturday, doesn't mean I deny that. But I tell you what, when I come in the house of God, I want to sharpen somebody. I want to bring someone's countenance up. Yes, God provides people around me to, you know, to help if my countenance is low. Folks, I'm gonna say this. You know, I want to bring something that brings somebody else up. I believe that we could be self-motivated as believers. God's presence is on the inside of us. Yes, somebody else can certainly help sharpen us. Before a service, I look into, you know, on the inside, you know, and in my spirit, and am reminded of what God has done, you know, for us as believers. I make sure when I go to a church service, I'm going to bring my absolute best. You know, I'm going to rejoice, say, well, Pastor, I just don't feel like that. That's the problem. We're waiting for our feelings to tell us to rejoice. It takes no faith to rejoice when things feel good. It takes faith to rejoice when things don't feel good. And when people see you rejoicing, maybe it's just going to bring them up and sharpen their countenance. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're blessed. You get something out of this?
Yes.
We're blessed therefore we rejoice. I could have just said that right at the beginning and had a one-minute sermon. 4,000 years ago, your blessing entered this earth. 4,000 years ago, God knelt down and marked a faithful man who was going to believe God, who then created a nation that now gave us the Son of God, who was crucified, who took the curse on the cross, that this blessing on Abraham would mark every single one of us because we believe in Jesus. And now we became the ones that inherited the promise. Folks, I'm sorry. I believe the blessing is bigger than depression. I believe it's bigger than sickness and disease. I believe it's bigger than sadness. You say, well, Pastor, you make it sound wrong to go through those things. No, we've all been through those things. All right? I'm saying it's wrong to let those things beat you. I'm sorry. The blessing is bigger. There's one thing I've noticed about this little pesky Israel over there. No one can beat them. No one can beat them. No one can beat them. They're the size of New Jersey. Like I said the other night, I should say it, New Jersey, right? New Jersey, half the size of Florida. They've got enemies all around them at all times that want to eradicate them off the earth, and they can't lose. Their Secret Service is the only one better than our Secret Service. Do you know that? Do you know Israel has technology to shoot down those rockets and missiles that far exceed even our own technology? They're blessed. You can't beat them. I don't know when those, remember, when was that, 1967? Remember the Six-Day War? Remember that? They thought Israel was going to lose. And if Israel, you know, even managed to stay in it, it was supposed to take years. Do you know that? It was supposed, that war was supposed to take years. Israel did not win in 6 years or 6 months or 6 weeks. Israel cleaned all their clocks in 6 days because they could not be beaten. Why? Because they still have a residue of the blessing of Abraham on them. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you aren't going to be beaten if you'll know who you are. Man, if Job had the sense to say, all the days of my appointed time, I will wait until my change comes. Are you blessed here tonight?
Yes.
Folks, this has got to get into your spirit. It's got to get into your heart. No, you don't have to walk around Wegmans. You don't have to go over to the mall and just, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't need to act flaky about it. You know, it shouldn't be something that we have to pretend. Do you know what I mean by that? We should be, you know, filled with the word enough to have it for real without, you know, if you've got to advertise how blessed you are, you know what I mean by that? Let me tell you, I'm so blessed and I'm so favored. I'm so blessed, I'm so favored. That's cheesy. Does anyone know what I mean by that? No one's interested in your church in ease. You know, if the blessing is on you, you won't have to say a word about it, meaning, no, we should be rejoicing in church and rejoicing. You know what I'm saying? You know, rejoicing. Oh, is that making sense? Reverend Chris says yes, so praise the Lord. You know, I don't go around and say, oh, by the way, I'm a pastor and I'm blessed and I'm favored. Oh, have I told you how blessed and favored? You know what I mean? I don't put on the weird church in ease. You know? I want it to be evident the real way. Did you get any help here tonight? Are you blessed? Let's stand to our feet. Let's do something a little different here. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just give God some praise and glory right now. Father God, we bless you tonight. We praise you, Lord. You are faithful. You are good. We are the seed of Abraham, and we believe it. When Abraham looked up into those stars, he saw us. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you. Father, you are the one that defends us. You are the one that protects us. You are the one that fulfills us all in all. Your blessing, your promise is bigger than any sadness. It is bigger than any depression. It is bigger than any sickness. It is bigger than any lack. Father, we bless you tonight. We glorify you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Lord Jesus, you hung on that cross to become the curse, that the blessing of Abraham would be upon us. Blessing is nothing that we're waiting for. Nothing more needs to happen. There's no more money that has to come in for us to be blessed. There's no more promotions that have to come in for us to be blessed. Blessing is not something we're waiting for it to happen. We are blessed. Blessing is what we are. It is who we are. We are Abraham's seed. We are those that have inherited the promise. It's ours now. Lord, we know and understand that life is filled with challenges. Life is filled with a lot of bad thoughts. Life is filled with a lot of bad feelings. Life is filled with a lot of bad experiences at times. None of us in here could claim to know what anyone else has gone through in their life. None of us shared all the same experiences. Some of us have had it tougher than others. Some of us have had it easier than others. But the fact remains is the blessing is for each and every one of us regardless. Thank you, Lord God. And Lord, you said, let them that put their trust in you rejoice. Let them rejoice and be glad and shout for joy. Oh, the goodness, what we have. Oh, Lord, we bless you. We are those families in this earth that are blessed. Blessed is your name. With every eye closed, every head bowed before we dismiss. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I've never stepped into that blessing. I've never received by faith salvation that is in his name. I'm going to tell you the truth. And I look around and I know just about everybody. But there's a one or two that I don't. I'm going to tell you the truth. There is a heaven, there's a hell, and the good news is God doesn't want you to go to hell. The good news is he gave Jesus Christ for you, so you don't have to go there. God wants, you saw what God wants. He wants nobody cursed. He wants everybody blessed. And the Bible says over there in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if today was my last day on this earth, if I'd be in heaven or if I'd be in hell. Don't leave tonight until you get sure. But if that's you, if you say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I need to know that I'm saved. I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. Once you put your hand in the air, I'll have you put it right back down. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to call you down front. This is between you and God. And then once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and he will be. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anybody here? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. God loves you with all of his heart. Anybody else before we pray? Well, I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. If you lifted your hand, go ahead and just speak these words out of your mouth. Everyone's going to be praying right along with you. You won't be the only one. But speak these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind. Mean it with your heart. God will hear you. Let's all pray this together. Everybody, pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I believe with my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get something out of that here tonight? Let's just give God all the praise and glory. Let's rejoice. Let's just take a moment to rejoice before we dismiss. Father, we glorify you. Come on, everybody. Just go ahead, lift your voices. Thank God. You know, step out of your comfort zone and bless him. Father, we just bless you tonight. We glorify you tonight. Lord, you are faithful. You are good. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, Amen. You are dismissed.